morning. This is the Chorus Call operator, and welcome to the presentation of the financial results for Hero Group to June 30th, 2019. All participants are in listen-only mode, and following the initial presentation, there will be a Q&A session. For assistance from an operator during the conference call, press star followed by zero. I'd now like to give the floor to Mr. Tommaso Tommasi di Vignano, Hera Group's Executive Chairman. You have the floor, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. We apologize for the slight delay. Our board meeting was filled with information to be discussed, of course, because we are about to go on holidays for the summer, which means that we were discussing all things today. I'm sure you've already read the press release. We are quite satisfied, and I hope that you are too, since, as you can see on the first page of the presentation, our EBITDA is up to 546 million, with a 22 million growth, equal to a plus 4.3% year-on-year. Keep in mind that the growth is almost exclusively organic because, as we'll be seeing, the contribution of two M&A transactions was very limited during the first half of the year. Within the organic growth, there have been some very good results posted in the past 3 months, which contributed to the results I mentioned earlier. As far as the EBIT is concerned, we are at 289 million with a 15 million euro growth, equal to a 5.6% growth, which also takes into account a slight increase in amortization compared to the investments made over the period, up to 214.5 million. With an increase in 16.8%. Net profit post minorities is at 166 million compared to the previous year's figures, minus an extraordinary transaction in H1 2018, which was the sale of a company in Sardinia. And the profit marks an increase in 13 million, equal to plus 8.4%. As far as our financial situation is concerned, things went well this time too. We were able to fully cover the sizable investments we made and the payment of dividends, which was equal to 10 cents per share, up by 5.3%. This also allowed us to confirm a net debt to EBITDA ratio, which is the ones we have grown accustomed to, equal to 2.55 times. Now, how were we able to achieve this good result? As I mentioned earlier, most of the 546 million euros were brought about through our organic drivers, both in the liberalized businesses with a plus 30.5 million euros and in the regulated side of the business with a plus 12.5 million. The latter area of activities includes the networks, the waste collection service, all of which contributed to the 12.5 million euros I mentioned earlier. Most of the contribution in the liberalized businesses include the power generation, also given the fact that the Tivadola plant is now up and running again after having been down for maintenance for much of last year. We also had a good outperformance on ancillary services, which allowed us to contribute in a significant way to the 30.5 million euro growth. Also, in the liberalized part of the business, we have also increased our customer base in energy with a plus 90,000 in the first half of 2019. This, too, is a very good result, I think. As far as the waste business is concerned, the driver there was certainly the very good prices, which followed the increases we had over the past 2 years, plus the increase in our business customers in waste. That, too, had a major impact on our growth. And we also were able to work with some very important industrial partners and industrial customers. The last component in the liberalized part of the business refers to public lighting. And thanks to this sector, we are working well. We are expanding our market share with a significant growth in EBITDA equal to 2.3 million euros compared to the previous year. The regulated businesses contributed to our growth with a further 12.5 million euros thanks to the energy tariff review, thanks to the investments we made, and also thanks to the efficiencies which allowed us to be rewarded by ARERA due to our quality and due to the technical elements of our services. These are the more significant parts of regulated businesses. Whereas in waste collection, we had a slight reduction equal to 1.4 million euros. As far as M&A is concerned, M&A didn't contribute to the results of the first half of the year, or not too much, since the two M&A transactions were smaller transactions. One happened in May, the other in early March, which brought about a growth of only 1 million euros, which, of course, isn't what we expect to achieve in the next half of the year. Good afternoon, also as far as I'm concerned. Let's move on to the business-by-business breakdown and to the details of our various activities. In the first half of this year compared to last year, our activities and networks marked the best growth. Also, and especially thanks to our growth in the water sector, as we'll be seeing. We are now up to 233.8 million euros in the network sector. As you can see in the graph, this is an increase equal to 14 million euros compared to the previous year. We also posted a slight growth in the waste sector. We're substantially stable. The chairman already mentioned most of the elements earlier, and I'll be describing some further elements later on. In the energy sector, we were able to achieve the result we forecasted less. In the first half, we were able to fully offset the loss of a part of our Salvaguardia profits, which, as you know, is a market that we were confirmed for 2019 and 2020 with a similar perimeter compared to the previous period, but with profitability levels which are lower compared to the past, as we already mentioned. Despite all this, the good performance in the ancillary services, as the chairman was saying, allowed us to offset these results and, in fact, to improve things. Also, thanks to our commercial development, we're now up to 170.9 million euros with a 3.2% growth compared to 2018. We also performed well in the other services, which includes public lighting, as mentioned earlier, along with district heating, which is something we're very pleased with. On page 4, you have a description of the performance in the various areas of business and networks. As I already mentioned, we had a significant contribution to growth from water, with a result which marks a 10 million euro growth, which means that we are now up to 122.8 million euros at the end of this first half of the year. Gas is also on the rise. It benefited from an increase in recognized revenues, plus some benefits, some premiums on the service. The same goes for electricity. In this case, this was underpinned by a recognized returns and by an increase in margins equal to 1.2 million euros. And to that, we also have to add district heating, which, despite higher temperatures compared to the previous year, was still able to mark a 0.8 million euro growth, bringing the total for the sector up to 14 million euros in growth. I think it's worth going back to the results posted in the water sector as a way of underscoring a few aspects. The first of which is that the contribution to this result was brought about by 2 million euros in efficiencies on costs, 1 million euros by a slight recovery in the third-party services, which means activities for third parties. And the remaining 6 million euros can be divided partly in premiums on the technical and commercial side of the business, plus an increase in recognized revenues given the investments we made in previous years. So these are the components which brought about this growth, a visible and important growth. It is nothing new for us. In fact, it's consistent with our growth last year in the water business. If we move on to page 5, the water sector, the waste sector, excuse me, this includes some especially positive elements which contributed to the result. On the one hand, we had an increase in prices, which consolidated and continued in the first half of the year, with a further contribution equal to 5.5 million euros compared to last year, despite the volumes managed was slightly lower compared to last year. And this, of course, amplifies the effects of prices. We also had very positive results from Aliplast, which was able to benefit from the new investments we started last December with a new line for washing PET in the Nevada plant, which allowed the company to increase its operations, plus the good trends on the market. This is a sector in which demand is on the rise, and, of course, this had an impact on the results of Aliplast. And then in H1, we also started to measure the contribution stemming from the new plant, the new biomethane plant, tangibly. And in the first half, it posted improvements equal to 2.3 million euros, a result we are satisfied with, but which still does not fully express the potential of the plant, since in the first 3 months we did have to deal with a few issues concerning the fine-tuning, especially when it comes to stripping the biomethane. And therefore, only in the second quarter of the year were we able to have the plant working at full capacity, which is what we expect to continue doing in the upcoming months. Our expectation is to have an EBIT for this unit worth 7 to 8 million euros per year, which means that the 2.3 million euros of the first quarter are only a partial amount of the full potential of the unit. Following these positive results, we also had a negative component, which we had already commented on and discussed at length during the conference call for the Q1 results. This refers to some extraordinary maintenance which was required on some of our plants, especially in the northeastern part of the country, in Padua and Trieste. And then, of course, to that we also have to add the limited availability of waste management capacity of landfills to close the waste cycle, also vis-a-vis the industrial activities, with a special focus on industrial activities, in fact. And as we'll be hearing later, this was a an issue which was brilliantly dealt with and solved over the months. Moving on to the energy sector, here we can see a few contrasts, which did bring about a positive result ultimately. First of all, we have the effects on the last resort markets, which, as you know, will have a plus 40 million euros compared to the previous year, plus 21.7 on the first half of the year. This was offset by certain market expansion activities, some commercial activities, at a pace that allows us to increase our electricity customers by over 100,000 per year. This also applies to the gas sector, with over 50,000 new customers in the first half of the year. To that, we also have to add the result we posted in the ancillary services market, and specifically with the first with the two small units we have in the Campania region, and that amounts to a total worth 16.4 million euros. This is a visible, a net result, which was compared to a figure almost equal to zero the previous year, since last year, especially the Teverola plant, was down for maintenance for a long time. And therefore, these two elements this was a surprise to us, since we weren't able to expect the contribution from ancillary services. And all in all, we were able to offset the reduction in profits in the last resort markets. And we have a positive result, ultimately, which is worth slightly over 5 million euros. We're now up to almost 171 million euros in EBITDA. With a customer base which is now stably above 2.6 million customers, with 1.4 in gas and 1.2 roughly in the electricity. And Mr. Moroni can now go into the cash flow. Good afternoon. We've heard good news so far. We can complete the good news with the cash generation. The operating lever allowed us to self-finance investments, which are up 30 to 40 million euros compared to the previous year, with a major contribution in allowing the company to develop its operations. And we were also able to finance the payment of dividends, which only leaves out the application of the IFRS 16 accounting principle, which already, since the beginning of the year, had an impact worth roughly 100 million euros on the net financial position, which means that the figures in cash generation are very positive, allowing us to conclude with a debt equal to 2.685 billion, which is 100 million euros more compared to last year. But only 60 million euros more compared to year end, which means that we have already been able to bridge part of the gap brought about by the accounting principle, which had burdened us a little bit at the beginning of the year. The net debt to EBITDA ratio is stable at 2.55 times, and I think it's worth mentioning that the cost of debt was further improved slightly at 3.5% and the part pertaining to taxes was optimized once again by taking full advantage of the opportunities offered by the financial law. In June, the tax rate is at 28.7%, which is another very important result we were able to obtain. And I'll conclude by mentioning the green bond issued, which issued at the end of June. A period of time during which we reopened the market with this green bond, which was appreciated very much. The result we obtained was very positive, both in terms of subscriptions and requests, and also in terms of the rate we were able to obtain. This was an 8-year transaction with a yield which is slightly above 1%. And our debt is stable with an average duration of 6 years. Therefore, this transaction also testifies to the gratitude of the financial market as to our credibility, and also in terms of the green strategy that we have been working on for quite some time now. Let me just go on to the last part of the presentation with a brief overview on the Ascopiave transaction. As you know, we had given ourselves a deadline. We would come up with the final contracts by tomorrow. We're almost there. We've been working on the final transaction, and therefore, over the next 24 hours, we will be giving you the final details. You're familiar with the structure of the transaction. There haven't been any major changes. This is what we have already communicated. And for the time being, this is a project that I'm sure you're all familiar with, since it was already illustrated when the binding agreement was signed. And I'll give the floor to the chairman, since there are a couple of important news in the waste sector. Yes, thank you. Our attention to the waste sector was brought about by the fact that we suffered for a while, silently, without saying too much. But we did suffer because we had encountered a few obstacles in authorizations, and therefore we had a reduction in the overall availability of landfills. And therefore, we committed to finding solutions in this sector as a way of protecting us from any future surprises. We were able to obtain a number of results, and we'll be seeing some positive effects already in the second half of the year, because these results, of course, are based on events which happened at the end of the first half of the year. Now, the news I'm mentioning doesn't include the biomethane plant that Mr. Vernier was mentioning earlier. So let me focus on the landfill sector. Over the past few weeks, we were able to add a couple new strategic assets, plus a third smaller one, allowing us to be able to fully use landfills from now on. The first asset is a landfill which covers the northeastern part of the country, and more specifically in the Pordenone province. This is a new landfill which was opened a few weeks ago. It is fully up and running, and it will be devoted to urban special waste. This is a landfill with a capacity of 700,000 tons, which enriches our asset portfolio. And to that, we also have to add the fact that in the very same weeks, a new landfill area was opened close to the city of Ravenna, a city we were already present in, the landfill of which had been exhausted. Whereas with this new area, we were able to add a further 300,000 tons devoted to a special waste for the Ravenna area. So these two initial initiatives allowed us to have a further 1 million ton capacity, and that now is fully operational. Secondly, recently we also made the acquisition of a large landfill for industrial special waste. This is the largest landfill of our new ones. The interesting thing is that it is located on the border between Emilia-Romagna, our traditional region, and Tuscany, a region in which we are already present as far as industrial waste is concerned, which means that this second transaction, which is larger than the first two operations I mentioned earlier, equal to 1.4 million tons in capacity. This is a landfill located in the city of Pistoia that will be at the very core of our activities in Tuscany, along with the activities we have in the Emilia region. And as you know, Emilia is on the border with the province of Pistoia. The authorizations for our other landfills, the authorizations that we suffered due to, the ones which were delayed, we expect to receive in the second half of the year. And therefore, given the fact that we have made the acquisition of these new landfills, we will be able to wait for the necessary authorizations for the use of our landfills, which we have a right to. As I mentioned, the Pistoia landfill has a capacity of 1.4 million. The other two have a capacity of a further 1 million tons, which means that we have a further 2.5 million tons capacity, which means that things will look quite good for the upcoming years. This is something we're very pleased with because we did suffer in this sector a couple of years ago when the authorizations had started to expire and it was becoming increasingly difficult to renew or extend authorizations. All of this brings us to something which is somewhat new. On page 10 here, you can see a comparison with what happened in 2018, the first year of our new business plan, and with the first half of the year 2019. Now, if we compare our previous business plan, which targeted a 200 million euro EBITDA growth over a five-year period, you'll be able to see that through organic growth and M&A, and going back to what Stefano was saying in Ascopiave, on this latest acquisition we made with the Pistoia landfill, which means that if we sum these parts of our program, as you can see, we have been able to achieve 60% of our target in only 30% of the time we had given ourselves, according to the business plan. And that's something that we are very pleased with, and I'm sure it will give us an extra boost in dealing with the upcoming months. Obviously, we didn't take into account the gas tenders, which, as you know, still haven't started in the gas sector, which means that the growth that we had forecasted in that sector didn't happen, But to offset that, we had an increase, a larger increase in organic growth. And, of course, we also had a larger involvement in M&A. And these are the two items which we feel, and we hope you agree, can show our ability to continue moving forward, not just in achieving our plans, but as we were able to achieve this time, to overperform what we were targeting. Taking into account, of course, that the Ascopiave transaction, given its size, was already very positive. Besides the impact on EBITDA we mentioned earlier, it also allowed us to reach the 3 million energy customer target, which is what we're targeting for the end of the business plan, in 4 years' time, therefore. And therefore, I think this opportunity we seized goes to show just how positive we are, and just mentioning the things we've already achieved without looking to the future. All of the things I mentioned are already things we have concluded, and therefore this is the spirit with which we wanted to share this presentation with you today, and we do hope that you share this positivity with us. This is the Chorus Call operator. We will now be beginning our Q&A session. For any questions you may have, press star followed by one on your telephone. For any questions you may have, press star followed by two. And please use your telephone by speaking slowly and clearly for a translation. For any questions you may have, press star followed by one now. The first question is from the Italian conference call by Enrico Bartoli, MainFirst. Good afternoon. I have a few questions for you. First of all, some questions on your electricity EBITDA. You were able to recover from the lower margins in the Salvaguardia market. Can you give us some details on how much of this recovery is due to power generation, especially the performance in ancillary services, and how much is due to margin supply? And specifically, as far as margin supply is concerned, can you give us an idea of the performance compared to H1 last year? And can you also give us what your outlook is for H2? I have a second question on the Ascopiave transaction. Can you tell us something about its strategic meaning and on the transaction's rationale? The market noticed the price per customers, of course. Can you comment on that, also taking into account the fact that it was significantly higher compared to previous transactions? And then I have a final question on slide 9 and your new landfill capacity. Can you give us an idea of what these new assets will be contributing to EBITDA? As far as the contribution of ancillary services is concerned, if we go back to page 6, where it says power generation, of the 16 million euros, you can see there 15 million refer to ancillary services, because as we mentioned, we don't have significant generation capacities. If you compare that to the previous year, the previous period, the same period last year, since that same capacity was under maintenance, the overall result was equal to 3 million euros. In other words, during H1 last year, the contribution for this activity was worth 3 million, whereas in H1 this year, it was worth 19 million euros. It was a 16 million euro growth, 15 million of which stem from ancillary services. What is our outlook as far as year end is concerned? I don't know. this market is highly volatile. It depends on demand. It's impossible to make any forecasts. In H2 last year, things were quite good. Not as good as H1 this year, but it's impossible to give you an outlook. As far as the Ascopiave transaction is concerned, which we hope to formalize over the next 24 hours, what is the rationale? Well, the rationale lies in the business plan we had illustrated. Since we were the third largest operator of the national market with 2.5 million customers, our goal was to consolidate our presence and to go about 3 million customers. That was a goal we had for the medium term, because we also because we feel that thanks to a critical mass of customers, we can obtain significant results. And keep in mind that in order to be a player on the market, you have to have a presence which has to be above 2.5 million customers. And that's why already in the business plan, we had identified the 3 million customer target as one of the core targets we had to obtain. Being competitive doesn't simply mean having the capacity to offer, but it also means being efficient on cost to serve. And size can have an impact on that. The opportunity to reach that target with a single transaction, with a qualified operator, and with a quality customer base in terms of churn rate, in terms of unpaid ratio, taking into account all the metrics which give value and which bring about the difference between customers in a certain territory with a company compared to elsewhere. And therefore, this was the motivation, and this justified a pricing which face value can appear to be higher compared to other transactions, but I think that the customer base in this transaction can't be compared to many examples made in recent weeks by some of you. Having said that, of course, the challenge now is to be able to generate further value with synergies, with opportunities, together with the rest of the group. The second important aspect is that with Ascopiave, it wasn't a pure customers for cash transaction. It was a lot more complex. It was a broader transaction, which on the one hand creates a commercial partnership with a joint venture with 1 million customers. Because, of course, keep in mind the 700,000 customers at Ascopiave will also have a further 350,000 customers from our side of things. We want to create an entity worth 1 million customers, which standalone would be the sixth or seventh largest player in Italy. And this, of course, I think, describes the entity of this project. Then, of course, there was also a reshuffling, an asset allocation in our various, in our respective portfolios for gas. In our case, we don't think what we offered to Ascopiave changes our competitiveness and our role in the industry. Whereas on the contrary, those assets were especially interesting for Ascopiave, and therefore, taking all these things into account, we were able to set up a transaction which was very different compared to how it had originally been designed. And it brought about a combination between the two of us with the right synergies on both sides. And the final element I'd like to mention, and it's important for you to keep in mind, is that with this transaction, we will have asset swaps which don't require cash outs on either side, which means that this is a transaction which has a zero cash balance. Of course, with the presentation of the new business plan, we will go into further details. But for the time being, for the next 24 hours at least, please allow me to continue working and to keep my fingers crossed that everything runs smoothly, which is what we expect. And I'll leave the floor to the chairman to discuss the landfills issue. Well, as far as our outlook is concerned on the impact of these operations on the waste EBITDA, if you take those three landfills into account alone, and if you take into account the current prices, on a yearly basis, which won't be possible in 2019, of course, because one half of the year had already gone by before everything was completed. But I think that on a yearly basis, we could be looking at 16 million euros in terms of EBITDA, further EBITDA, if you take all three landfills into account. That includes the two large ones and the smaller to medium-sized one I also mentioned earlier. So this is, I think, a result we can obtain beginning next year, to have a full year. In the meantime, we will see if we can add anything on top of that, since we're waiting for authorizations for other landfills. A follow-up, the 16 million euro contribution on EBITDA for the landfills, are they already included in the business plan targets or not? And then going back to my first question, can we have an idea of the supply margins and how they evolved in recent months compared to last year? Thank you. Well, I'm not sure I can answer that since these are very recent events. As for the presence in our budget, we couldn't be very specific because we didn't know when the transaction would be completed, whether June, July, or May. But anyway, the elements that can change the contribution in 2019 already included some major efforts. I really can't remember if the figures matched the ones that we used to make the acquisitions. And of course, if we refer to next year, the figure I mentioned is reliable and it's also included in the business plan. As far as the market margins are concerned, you can see the figures on page 6, 10.6 million. Of course, these 10.6 million euros reflect a few components. First of all, the fact that the customer base grew by almost 200,000 customers year on year, which means that this has a further contribution to the business's profitability. And secondly, the contribution on the ongoing business for our electricity sales was at around a few million euros more. That went well. And as far as gas is concerned, we were able to fully offset the effects of the very mild climate in Q1. Of course, the very cold April and the very cold early May we had probably offset that, but of course, February and March were very good. So in terms of volume, like for like, the volumes were lower. But we were able to offset that with a few higher margins. Thank you. Thanks. Banca. Good afternoon, everybody. My first question is on the water distribution business. The performance was very good, which you explained with your efficiency gains and the premiums in the business. Can you give us the details as to the contributions of these premiums in the water distribution business? Second question, on the waste management business. I was surprised by the flat performance in H1. Of course, that's due to the landfills problem. Now, given these three projects you illustrated, which will allow you to expand your capacity, how many months or how many years will that cover, given the fact that the market is performing very well? Of course, not having landfills is very painful. It doesn't allow you to seize the opportunities out there. And the chairman was also saying that you're working on other projects. Can you give us an idea as to how sizable, how large these landfill projects are? Is there something which can realistically be completed in the short term? And can this give you the chance to further expand your business? Then my final question refers to the supply business and your agreement with Ascopiave. Of course, I'm interested in understanding how quickly you can expand, especially in the electricity business, which is very significant. Can you give us an idea as to why Hera is so capable of growing in the supply business? In that context, I think that the how do you see the premium of the Ascopiave transaction? The premium was considered high, of course, but do you think the rationale behind this transaction lies more in the cross-selling opportunities, or does it lie in the possibility to improve profitability through operational improvements, or both of these? Can you give us some ideas, some further clarity that could help us a great deal, I think? Let me begin with the waste sector, or rather with the water sector. As I mentioned, the further 10 million euro profitability can be broken down in the following way. 2 million refer to cost efficiency, to which we can also add the third-party activities we conduct. Then the further 7 million euro improvement refers to premium on quality. The remaining part refers to higher revenues stemming from the investments we made last year on top of amortization. Plus a few items that we are capable of recovering from previous years, which are expiring, of course, although some effects can still be felt in 2019. So this is a breakdown of the 10 million. Let me move on to the question on supply and on Ascopiave. First of all, as we had already described in the press release for the term sheet, we will be closing the transaction once we receive authorizations from the antitrust authority and after we do things within the end of the year. So 2020 will be the first year in which this operation, this partnership will be up and running. That's why we asked you to wait for the business plan presentation for some more detailed descriptions. Of course, as far as your question is concerned, some efficiencies can be possible. But we are especially focusing on improving and expanding the customer base. So this deal is revenue-driven. Since, as you yourself were mentioning, we feel there can be some further opportunities through electricity cross-selling to the customer base, which is gas for the most part. But we can also sell VAS services, which, as far as our customer base is concerned, we are already up to 50,000 customers in 6 to 12 months from when we began these types of services. Then, of course, there are a number of other optimizations which we can work on over the years. So this is the outlook we have. And then, of course, we also thought of possible synergies, but of course these are outside-in assessments. Then hopefully, over the next few weeks, and as we start drafting the business plan, these assessments will be inside-in, so we'll be much more specific in a few months' time. Of course, the underlying issues are the ones that you were mentioning, plus all the things I mentioned as well. And then you had a third question on the landfills, and I'll leave the floor to the chairman. Well, as far as our outlook is concerned, we hope that what we presented today would be enough. The value of these three landfills I think the landfills will be useful for at least 5 years, given the capacity. And I already said that we are working on some further capacity. These were landfills that we already own, the authorizations for which have to be renewed. But of course, we don't have the same problems we had 2 years now. So this is the situation and the outlook. We're being somewhat conservative, of course, but you also have to keep in mind that not all landfills are good for all types of waste. I also mentioned the fact that we have to save some space for industrial waste. Of course, industrial waste is one thing, and it's different compared to urban waste and the capacity required for urban waste. These are these landfills we bought are gems, and we chose them carefully. In this case, two of these landfills were major acquisitions, indeed, and therefore we will be paying close attention to these landfills. We don't want to fill up the space we bought too quickly, and rest assured, though, that this is a topic that we will continue to focus on. Well, thank you very much for some interesting answers. The next question is by Roberto Letizia, Equita FIM. Good afternoon. What is the improvement you expect following the renegotiation of your debt? What will the net effect be on a yearly basis compared to 2018? And were these transactions already included in your business plan targets in terms of cash generation? And did you also have the chance to look at the ARERA document on the future of dispatchment, since it opens up to the opportunity for distributors to offer complementary services to what TEDN offers in dispatching? Can this be an opportunity for a company like Hera, or is it something which isn't on your radar screen? And then going back to the energy sector, at this point, on a yearly basis, what is the negative effect you expect from the loss in margins in the Salvaguardia market? Would the figure be 15 million euros? Can you confirm that? And just a final quick question. Any possible update on the DAGA bill and its discussion in Parliament? Well, I'll save your question on the DAGA reform for last. Let me begin by the easiest question, the Salvaguardia market. Since we had been able to perform the netting on the first half, our target for year-end is for the impact to be in the range of 10 to 15 million euros, hopefully more, 10 million euros. As far as The edited document on dispatching by distributors, honestly, we're still trying to understand what it's about. I wouldn't be able to answer today. Honestly, I wouldn't know what to say right now. We still have to study the possible implications. Then Mr. Moroni can talk about the financial question you had. But keep in mind that compared to last year, we were able to reduce the company's overall financial burden from 3.7% to 3.5%. As far as the DAGA reform is concerned, currently what we have are plenty of rumors, but nothing confirmed. What we heard time and time again is that this reform was included in the government's programs. It seems to me that currently the government has other priorities they're focusing on. We do know that Ms. Daga is working on a 2.0 version of her bill. Hopefully it won't be worse compared to the previous version of her bill. Although we are convinced of the fact that there's no need to reform the water sector. In fact, we feel the water sector requires stability and visibility, as we were able to achieve in recent years, and the effects of which are tangible, they're visible. In fact, this year we increased our investments in water with a further 10 million euros. It's a plus 10% compared to last year's investments. And we can invest because we have a certain degree of visibility and a scheme, a project that gives value to our industrial projects. And I don't think that's something we'd like to give up. As far as the financial question is concerned, the comparison isn't very easy. We can try to look at the gross debt and to compare that with the 0.02% advantage, which will have an impact on H2, which will give us a 1 to 1.5 million euro advantage. But we also have to keep in mind that the application of IFRS 16 had a 1.8 million euro impact on H1, because as you know, the application of the principle contributes to EBITDA because it transforms assets which have an amortization rate which have an impact on the total amount of the financial management. Plus, last year we had had the contribution of a dividend from a company we have we control. Therefore, we have to take into account these various aspects to have an overall consideration of the total financial impact this year. Although the effects on the cost of debt should be the ones I described earlier. The next question is by Emanuele Ioni, Banca Axos. Good afternoon. In fact, you've answered all the questions, and therefore, let me ask you something regarding the interest that you have officially expressed between the two companies in Verona and Vicenza. As you mentioned in the Ascopiave case, you had an asset that you were able to use to your advantage. whereas for these two other companies I mentioned, the merger would be entirely different. It is different. Of course, we're still waiting to understand how things will evolve. So the only thing I can say is that if that is a project to create a company in the Veneto region, well, in the Veneto region, ours is the largest group, and I'm referring to Veneto and Friuli Venezia Giulia. This refers to the regulated businesses, water, electricity, and gas, but also in terms of the waste business. And therefore, I think it's only fair for us to observe what happens in the rest of the Veneto region, which, as we've always said, is a territory we look to with plenty of attention. That is the situation as far as I'm concerned for the time being. Of course, we read the papers just as you, but I think that for the time being, we're still waiting to understand what the mayors of these two cities have in mind. Thank you. The next question is by Federico Pezzetti, Intermonte. Good afternoon. I'd like to ask you a further question on the acquisition of the Pistoia landfill and the 1 million ton capacity of the Venna and Cordenons. Your EBITDA at 16 million euros per year, I think, is a little conservative. So I'd like to wonder, specifically wondering how you intend to use the landfill's capacity. As a way of understanding the margins you expect per ton, are there any differences between the three landfills you mentioned? And then you were mentioning further capacities you may have in Modena, a further 1.5 million tons. That's something you mentioned in the previous conference call, if I remember correctly. So here, too, reasonably by the end of the year, or early 2020, this landfill can be up and running again. And here, too, what kind of margin do you expect per ton? Thank you. You never seem to be satisfied. You always want more news. Now, besides the three landfills we talked about earlier, and describing the capacity they have, we certainly have three other items, three other instances, in fact. Two are sizable landfills, one is smaller. They're present in our territories. And for these three landfills, we are looking to complete the documents needed to obtain the new authorization. Of course, since we still don't have the authorizations, I didn't take that capacity into account. It wouldn't have been cautious on my part. The second thing you have to consider is that the capacity of the landfills we made the acquisition of is certain, of course. But keep in mind that for the other landfills, the ones we're waiting for authorizations for, there's always a certain amount of time you have to wait, since it refers to sites which have already been used in the past, which have to be refurbished, so to speak, and that takes 2.5 to 3 years' time, which means that we have to wait a few for some time after we receive the authorization. That's we were concerned with the fact that we would have to cover that amount of time with other landfills. Now that we've made these new acquisitions, we can work in a more relaxed way so that we can then update the landfills that we're waiting for the authorization for. Of course, one is the landfill you were mentioning, the one in the Modena province. It's a landfill that we used for a few years, which had to be refurbished through a landfill mining activity, which means that we have to remove all the waste from the landfill and then to work on it. So we still don't have a clear view as to how much time we'll have to wait. But with the two landfills we acquired, we're able to cover our needs. They're two very large landfills. They're kept very well, and therefore, for the time being, we'll be able to use the new landfills we acquired without being too much in a rush. Because, of course, once you're left without capacity in landfills, then you understand how difficult it is to close the circle, as Stefanos mentioned earlier. So for the time being, we're sure as to the capacity we have. We mentioned the impact we're expecting on EBITDA beginning of next year. And then we'll see what happens next. If we're able to complete the other transactions that we're still working on, we can further improve things. But again, for the time being, we are very confident as to the current situation. Then, of course, I didn't want to ask you too much on the future. My question was more on the EBITDA related to the tons you already have. So let's stay on the 16 million euros you mentioned. Well, it's a very complicated answer because, as the chairman was saying earlier, that there are very many codes we would have to take into account. It's very difficult. There are at least 100 codes with different margins, of course. The Cormons landfill obtains urban special waste as lower margins, and you have the Pistoia landfill, which has a broader set of codes. And in turn, it is perfectly in line with the businesses we have in Tuscany, with waste recycling and the other platform we have. So it's not even a matter of discussing the margins per managed tons or tons disposed of, but we have to think about the tons we manage because, of course, you have to select the waste earlier, you have to sort it out to recover waste, and then, of course, the remaining part of the waste which has to be disposed of is the remaining part of the business, and therefore the margins we have is the combined outcome of a number of different businesses. For any questions you may have, press star followed by 1 on your telephone. For any questions you may have, press star followed by 1. The next question is a follow-up by Enrico Bartoli, Main First. It's just a quick follow-up. Can you give us an update on the political discussions on the liberalization of customers beginning in mid-2020? Do you think that date is still feasible? Or will there be any further delays? Also considering that there hasn't been any concrete proposal concerning Enel's customers' allocations. Well, let me answer by what the president of the authority said during his report to Parliament 3 weeks ago. He said that a further extension would be a further delay would be very difficult for Italy as a system, and therefore the authority has been working to avoid a further delay. Therefore, we are confident that that date will be complied with. Thank you. Mr. Tomas Emiliano, gentlemen, there are no further questions for the time being. Well, thank you very much. Have a wonderful summer. Thank you.